KRWG News is speaking with candidates running in June's contested primary races in New Mexico. This week, we are speaking with District 31 Democratic State Senate candidates. Today, we hear from incumbent State Senator Joseph Cervantes. Senator Cervantes, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell our audience why you are running for re-election?
Well, it's great to be with you, and I appreciate this opportunity. I'm running to seek re-election in the New Mexico Senate because I've long realized and appreciated that New Mexico has a much greater potential than it seems to be able to realize. And that failure of us to realize the great potential of our state keeps us at the bottom of too many lists where we don't belong. And that's why I'm running for Senate, because I can see where New Mexico belongs and where New Mexico can be with the right leadership. And I'm determined to make this the kind of place where our young people want to stay, raise their families, create jobs, and then enjoy everything that's beautiful in our community.
Across the globe and here in New Mexico, COVID-19 has impacted so many lives. With that in mind, can you share with us what you think the major issues are facing the district and the state?
Well, of course, the first priority is to make sure that everybody who needs the health care to save their lives has that health care, that the hospitals and beds and providers are all available, that the testing is available to our community so we know who needs that help and we can get it to them. That's the immediate and urgent concern. What's not being discussed very much, but it's going to become an equally important issue very shortly, is really the economic condition of our state. Right now, we're looking at a potential deficit in our state of between $1.7 billion and $2 billion. Realize that's on a total budget of about $7 billion. So we're looking at a very substantial shortfall to our revenue in the state, and that's going to have profound implications to everything, beginning with education of our schools and our students.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, healthcare, education, and the budget facing so many challenges right now. If reelected, how do you think you can address these issues with legislation?
Well, I've been through something similar before back in 2007, 2008, when our state economy had a sharp downturn along with the national economy. Back then, oil prices, like now, collapsed. And here this year, we based our budget with an assumption that oil would be going for about $50 a barrel. It's now oftentimes well below $20 a barrel. And with oil revenues making up about 40% of our state budget, it's not hard to see where the problems are going to arise. What all politicians say is that we need to diversify our economy, and of course, that's where we begin, but everyone says it and nobody gets around to making that happen. I'm determined to doing so.
Why do you think nobody ever gets around to making that happen? I'm curious.
Mostly because politicians tend to live in the short term, and so they don't put an investment with the eye of 2, 4, 10 years down the road. It's usually getting through the next election cycle or the next finance cycle, and that's the difference, is when you're in business or when you're in a farming family like we are, you spend your time thinking about generations of investment and how you're going to leave a better legacy down the road, not just get yourself through the next campaign finance or election cycle.
Is there any other things legislative-wise that lawmakers can do to address these major challenges?
I do think so. I think we spend a great deal of our money trying to invest on the latest, greatest scheme to make people rich or to make the state rich. And so we invest millions and millions of dollars for these businesses that come in, capitalize on that money, and then frankly either fail or leave the state for a better opportunity. I think we'd be better off investing on the businesses that we know are New Mexico grown businesses, New Mexico true businesses, New Mexico businesses that are going to be here with a legacy into the next generation. And we don't do that. We don't invest our money on that. Instead, we do things with the latest shiny object, and that fails us.
Okay, so can you give us an example of what that is? What is the latest shiny object right now, and what are the New Mexico true businesses that you think the state needs to invest in?
Well, the true businesses are the things that we have unique to our state. That's why I see this vision for New Mexico. So in the district I represent, which includes Santa Teresa, Sunland Park, Anthony, the South Valley, as well as a large part of Las Cruces, what we have is a border with Mexico. We have a border with Texas. Those are never going to change. Those are things that are worth investing in for the duration of our lives and into the next generations. Those are examples of things that have a lasting legacy. We're a farming family. Our farming valley is our beauty, is our treasure, is our legacy. We should preserve it with our protection of water and other resources. These are the things that are not flash-in-the-pan investments, and those are the things that I mean by legacy. Things like our tourism, our outdoor recreational opportunities, all of these are things that will last.
Okay, now back to the flash-in-the-pan. What are those?
I knew you'd trot me there. Well, the example I give, and again, I know it causes some controversy, but you can't do these things without some controversy. A good example would be the millions of dollars we invested and have celebrated with press conferences into hemp, so forth, for the last few years. The reality is most people that planted hemp over the last couple of years didn't find a market for it, couldn't sell it, lost a lot of money, and most of that crop was plowed under. But it's what was flashy and got a lot of press attention. And frankly, the state and the local community put millions and millions of dollars into something that doesn't really have any assurance of success.
The New Mexico Supreme Court dismissed an emergency petition by the Secretary of State of New Mexico and other county clerks to conduct the June primary election by using mostly a mail-in ballot for voters. The High Court dismissed that petition and ordered that the applications for absentee ballots be mailed to voters. How do you feel about that decision by the Supreme Court?
I realized that there was a great deal of concern about exposing voters and people that run elections in the pandemic days that we live in, and those were good motivations. But the Supreme Court did the right thing. The Supreme Court realized that it did not have the role and the authority to enact laws, and that's effectively what was happening in this case. The Supreme Court said that's up to the legislature to do. As a legislator, I embrace that. It's our responsibility to make laws and make policies, and the voters to respond to our actions by keeping us in office or replacing us. It's not for the courts to be enacting laws, and the Supreme Court unanimously and very quickly rejected the request that the court do so.
Okay, obviously we're dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic and a primary election. How has this pandemic impacted your campaign?
Well, beginning years ago, I ran for county commission here in Doniana County and then served in the House of Representatives and now in the Senate. So I've been through a few elections, and of course, this has been like no others. In the past, we enjoyed a lot of the opportunity to go out and meet and be with people, both on settings as small as knocking on people's doors and going into the neighborhoods, but then with town halls and candidate debates and forums and so forth, which I really enjoyed. I loved the dialogue. I loved the debate and the opportunity to discuss the issues and present them to the public. We haven't had any of that this campaign go around, and candidly, I miss that very much. So we're doing a lot of things with social media, with mail, and trying to do things with phone calls, but it's not the same as being with people that you want to help.
District 31 Democratic State Senator Joseph Cervantes, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, and thanks for the time to talk about our campaign.